There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. What?
Hello, let's do it.
That's Andrew.
That's the greatest sound in the world.
That's Chris.
Or most annoying.
It skates that line. It's that really that. That's why you love it.
Or it just
I love it.
It's definitely obnoxious, but whether you like it being obnoxious or not, that's
exactly my usage of it.
So, this is a Marvel Cinematic Universe pre-Infinity War episode. This is episode 90. We're recording this a day before this is the 24th, right? Fifth.
This is episode 91, bro.
Day before the premiere.
Technically, it comes out Friday, but there are some late night showings tomorrow night.
There are some Thursday night showings.
So
I have tickets to go tomorrow at 7:30.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it tomorrow at 7:45. So you'll be 15 minutes ahead of me. No spoilers, Andrew.
Spoilers.
It's one of the longest Marvel movies to date. 2.5 hours long. So
2 hours, 36 minutes.
36 minutes.
Right now.
Holy crap.
Stay through the end of the credits, people. There's
so,
always
there is,
stingers.
There is a scene.
Always.
This is stingers. This movie is the culmination of 18 movies that have led to this point. Yes. This is Marvel's.
It's a transformative thing in
this,
movie
right.
history. Right?
Really
oh,
is.
Totally. I was trying to think of like.
No,
has
no.
anybody ever
There's
done anything
like, it.
Like this?
No.
It's
There's
crazy.
Nothing like it. Ever.
All these movies connected. All these movies
think
like
about
overlapping.
All the movies, you know, franchises that have gone. I mean, what Bond has done 25 movies, but they're not all linked.
They're
together.
Not all connected, and they're all different
they're
actors.
All
right.
Connected. There is a through line for sure.
Well,
yeah.
There is right.
A through
okay.
line for sure, but it's not a. The plot of one feeds into another.
Totally.
Well, I mean, the most recent Daniel Craig movies really have been a sequence of movies that have built on each other.
Well, mm-hmm. those have been the closest in terms of a Venn diagram.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
The recent Bond movies have been come closest to Bond universe.
Yeah.
All of these things are connected. A through line of villain, you know, that culminates in a final movie with a final confrontation kind of thing. So that's as close as it gets.
But that's still only 4 movies.
Right.
This is 18 movies.
18 movies.
And each movie may or may not have contributed to the overall Marvel.
Yeah, not all.
Uh-huh.
We
could talk. We could talk about that. Yeah.
So,
their universe, and they all, in some way or another, majorly or minorly, have been moving towards the movie that's coming out this weekend in Avengers: Infinity War.
In some way, they're connected. All of the actors are in this movie. All of them.
We think.
Well, you know,
we really don't know whether or not. Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye will have a major or minor role. We don't really know
well,
if Ant-Man or the Wasp.
The rumor around the internet is he won't be Hawkeye. He'll be Ronin from the comics.
Well, whatever Jeremy Renner's character is,
yeah,
they're being very coy as to whether or not Renner appears in the movie at all.
I hope he does because I like Jeremy Renner. He's Hawkeye's kind of like. I mean, he's kind of a badass, like, but compared to all these other guys, he's kind of, I mean, he's just a regular dude. I mean,
I have a theory about that, but we'll get to our theory segment. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we got to get there. So
I have a theory. I have a theory about that.
I would like to talk about two things. One is the budget for all these 18 movies has been $3.4 billion to
bargain, fucking bargain,
to pay for these movies. Do you guys have a guess on how much these movies have made total?
Oh, I don't have to guess because I think I'm looking at the same Wikipedia page that you.
Yes,
have, Patrick.
Whoa. Let's see, 18.
18 times. Movies. How many billions? This, I'm going to give you that. It's at least it's billions.
Okay.
Because is, Patrick is robbing me of my trivia question.
Oh no! Am I robbing? Oh no! I'm sorry.
That's
fine.
Over under, I'm going to say the over under is 13 billion, and I would take the over.
You were damn close. It's $14.8 billion it's made so far.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
$14.8 billion.
That's insane.
What did Disney pay for Marvel?
$4 billion? Five
yeah,
billion?
Four or five. It's insane. No, that's insane.
Well, same thing with Star Wars. It bought Lucasfilm. It paid like $4 billion or $5 billion for Lucasfilm.
Yeah, $5 billion.
So,
in the U.S., Force Awakens made $1 billion.
Yeah. No.
Anyway.
Disney's cleaning up. That's the end of this. That's the end of that discussion.
Printing money.
So here's the deal. There's been three phases that they've talked about, and we're gonna break these down right now for you. We're gonna talk about each one and
just to get everybody up to speed.
Everybody up to speed
this weekend.
And like I forgot about a few of these movies, so I'm glad.
Lots of websites have been talking about this.
Right.
This is the Brothers Geek. This is the Brothers Geek.
I mean, we're not gonna. I mean, our goal is just to discuss the movies and our favorites and the ones that are important. You know. So
exactly. From each phase. Good.
Right.
That's good.
So
timing, dude.
So phase one is
that's Patrick, by the way. You didn't introduce.
I did too. You weren't paying attention. I said that's Chris. That's Andrew. I'm Patrick. We're the Brothers Geek. We're brothers. We're geeks. We talk about geeky things.
Now
here we are.
You've done it. Good job.
Now
wow.
We've done it. Let's
okay.
Roll.
Yeah. So this all these phases, all these movies start off because Iron Man, because Robert Downey Jr. made Iron Man so well. It like recreated his career. He wasn't. Yep. He was like doing nothing. You know, he was this drug addict from the 90s.
He
went to jail.
Ahead of that.
Yeah, but man,
let me pull up his IMDb page.
Even talk about this. We've talked about this multiple times throughout the life of our podcast, talking about all the Marvel films.
Mm.
We can't think of an instance where Marvel miscast an actor for their role. And it all started with Downey playing Iron Man.
Downey is
you
perfect.
Cannot think of any other person being able to play that role. He perfectly.
They were talking to Tom Cruise to play that role, and he turned it down.
It's incomprehensible to me that Tom Cruise could pay. You can't imagine.
It would have been
anyone.
A different. It would have totally been different. And do you think he would have done 18 movies? He would have given up. He would have given up way earlier.
I don't think the Marvel Cinematic Universe could have worked. At least Phase 1 could have worked without Robert Downey Jr. as the anchor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that started with Iron Man. And it's not a perfect film. There are issues with it, of course. The third act is a little lame. And say what you want about Ironmonger as like kind of the big
bad. I like that movie.
I mean, I like it too.
Iron Man's good.
Iron Man's solid.
Yeah.
Iron Man is good.
You're just hating on it. All right. Hold on. So Iron Man.
But going back to the point about it was really he had recovered and remember I'm looking at his IMDb page right now. He was in Zodiac in 2007. So Zodiac is really
right.
His
tremendous Fincher movie.
Oh, Fincher.
Return to like prime time primo filmmaking, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Because that 100%. Movie is incredible. Fincher is incredible.
Yep,
he is awesome in that. So, well,
and just a few years before that, like he'd done a run on Ally McBeal. I remember because I was kind of a fan of that show.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He had to leave the show because his addiction got the better of him again.
Right, that was like 2002. Yeah,
exactly. 2000, yeah. So he had a few years where it's like he was getting jobs.
I was looking at the list of movies, and they're all shit movies, shit roles. Yeah,
and he's just so good. Like this role is him.
Yeah,
he's perfect.
Perfectly cast.
Totally.
Yep.
So phase one, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man
Which I
2.
Think is very underrated.
Dude, Incredible Hulk is solid. It is solid.
It's a fun movie.
I just wish Edward. I love.
That's Edward Norton.
Yeah. I love. Andrew, help me out. Who's the current Hulk?
Mark Ruffalo
is great, but I kind of wish Edward Norton had stayed with it. But anyways,
yeah.
Iron Man 2, which is mixed reviews, people kind of rip on that one a lot too.
That's my favorite one.
Iron Man
is
2?
Really?
Oh yes. Man.
That's interesting. That's
of the Iron Man movies or Phase 1 movies?
No, that's of the Iron Man movies. Iron Man 2 is the best one.
Oh wow.
In my view.
Iron Man 2 is pretty fun. I like it. I like the villain.
Iron Man 2 is good.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 is terrible.
Anyways, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Thor.
Yeah.
Thor 1, directed by Kenneth Branagh. People like to rip on that one, too.
It also introduces Jeremy Renner
mm-hmm.
as Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Touchstone in that movie.
And Agent Coulson. Agent Coulson's in Iron Man 2.
Coulson is in Iron Man 1.
No shit.
Phil Coulson and I forget the name.
That's right. He shows up at the end.
Iron Man 1.
That's when they introduced S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Exactly.
Wow. They had
really
already
to build on.
Right.
They
right.
Really
these are big. The, these are big things. Right.
They build to the reveal of what S.H.I.E.L.D. is,
mm-hmm.
and they get to. Coulson appears in all of. He doesn't appear in Incredible Hulk, but he appears in Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
He appears in Thor. He doesn't appear in Captain America because it's set in World War II.
It takes place in World War II for the most part.
Yeah.
And we get introduced to Nick Fury in Iron Man 2 and Black Widow.
Nick Fury's the stinger of Iron Man 1.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I keep forgetting.
It goes all the way back, dude. Think about that.
Nick Fury.
Yep.
And we haven't seen Nick Fury since Age of Ultron. I feel like.
Say that again?
We haven't seen Nick Fury since Age of Ultron.
Yeah, no,
we haven't. So he's got to be in this. I don't even have we seen him in any trailers? Like, he's got to be part of this story, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, where's Nick Fury?
So you're running through Phase One.
Phase one still. Captain America: First Avenger.
Solid movie.
And then Marvel's The Avengers, directed by Joss Whedon.
Directed by Joss Whedon.
Amazing movie.
Just think about how. I mean, that movie came out 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the buildup and kind of the hype that was surrounding this. Joss Whedon creating a movie where all of these superheroes come together. That 6 years ago was thought of. I mean, that was a never before attempted
mm-hmm.
movie. It's like,
and that movie's so entertaining. Holy
it's
crap!
It's so fun, and
it's so good.
It is, and as we are Joss fans, it is
mm-hmm.
so Joss, and it is so like he gets
he's
moments.
Clever,
yeah, the,
clever,
he's really clever. But the hokum, the Joss, I call it the Joss Whedon hokum. Just like the lines, the goofiness that you're like. And the self-seriousness sometimes, you're just like, okay, Joss Whedon, relax. But
think about the fact that Avengers comes out in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and then Phase 2 sets the tone. I mean, it's almost like it's Joss's phase,
mm-hmm.
because the events of the Avengers
mm-hmm.
affect the next phase of the Marvel movies.
Okay, so out of these movies, what's your favorite and what's your least favorite?
Out of Phase 1?
Phase 1.
I think my favorite is probably Captain America: The First Avenger.
That's your favorite? That's my least favorite. Least.
I love Chris Evans in the role.
Yeah.
I like Hayley Atwell as kind of as Agent Carter, as this very capable, secret agent who is totally an equal to Cap. And I think that they get the tone exactly right in terms of Chris Evans makes that movie.
Yeah.
And how he – and I like the Red Skull as a villain. I think he's perfectly, like, kind of arch and crazy. Yeah, I like Captain America.
Man, I might have to rewatch that. You're kind of selling me on it.
Avengers is its own thing. Avengers is superior to all of them.
It does a great winner. Right. That's not my number one in phase one. But it does a great job of capturing the comic book World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that they tried to – there are authentic touches also with Hydra energy weapons. You know, they get the little things. I really enjoyed how they executed on the World War II stuff. It was a history movie with fucking Iron Man and Red Skull in it.
Totally.
Captain America and Red Skull in it. I just love that. That's my second favorite. Avengers is my number one.
Avengers is your number one?
That's by far the best.
I would say Avengers is my number one out of phase one also. What's your least favorite, Christopher?
My least favorite is the Thor movie.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
It's kind of just weak. It's not great.
I say it's the least favorite because I found it entertaining, but it's just kind of eh.
Yeah. Right. All these movies are very watchable and entertaining. Yes. They're all good.
None of them are bad. That's the point.
Right.
There isn't a single one. That's the other stunning aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a single one that is bad.
Right.
There's varying degrees of good.
Yeah.
There isn't a single one that there is. I actively dislike Iron Man 3, but I rewatched that, and there are parts of it that are certainly entertaining. Mm-hmm. I don't like it as a movie. It's my least favorite of every movie. Of all of the Marvel Universe movies,
which is my
least favorite.
Wait, jump ahead here.
I'm sorry. But
what's your least favorite, Andrew?
Of phase one films.
Phase one.
Probably Thor. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that I don't like it, but it just doesn't. In terms of how much I enjoy the other ones.
Wow, you both are saying Thor for your least favorite.
I love Hemsworth as Thor, and it's a decent enough movie. It's a decent enough movie, but if I had to rank them, it'd be at the bottom. It just would. Yeah.
So
what's your least favorite?
I would say
Captain America.
Well, I was gonna say Captain America is my least favorite, but honestly, I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking of the movies that I would rather watch, like the least interested, and the least interested to me is Incredible Hulk. It's good, but like because it's not Edward Norton from now on, I don't know. It just seems less impactful
most out of place,
right?
Because they try to they really mirror the themes of the Incredible Hulk from the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted that theme more so than kind of making it comic booky. Which, in its own way, works and doesn't work. But their part, I mean, the fight between between Hulk and the Abomination at the end of that movie, I think is really fun.
It's really fun.
I think it's a great third act.
That's just a technically proficient sequence.
Oh, mm-hmm, I agree.
Mm-hmm. There is no context for that. There's no.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
There's not a big arc.
My least favorite. It is the Incredible Hulk. That is my least favorite.
I sold you on the least favorite. Yeah.
And it's a fair movie. I don't dislike it.
Right.
But I like Thor more than I like the Hulk.
I would watch Thor over that movie. If I had the two in my hands, I would watch Thor over that.
Every time.
Yeah. Every time.
Yep.
Yeah, when he plays it like that, I really can't dispute that determination.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I would watch the Avengers over all of
them. Oh, yeah.
Avengers is the number one.
Dude, I kind of want to... I might try to watch Phase 1 Avengers tonight. Jesus. Okay.
There you go.
Anyways, just because we're talking about it, it's great. Okay, yeah. Phase 2. We're up to 2013 now. That was 2008 to 2012. 2013 is Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Those are Phase 2. Dude, all these are solid as hell.
That's an amazing list of movies.
They just turned it up to 11. They, you know, so Phase 2 good. Was like this. This is where they made all their money.
This is where they kind of really. Yes, they got to the Avengers. They made a really good superhero movie. Now they have to go somewhere and really build on what they've built. Mm-hmm, this is where. The Marvel Cinematic Universe really has to find its legs.
Right.
Can you just... You had the first movies where you're building towards the Avengers. That's your big movie that you know was coming. You did that. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
And you have these next six movies.
You got to keep telling stories that are compelling.
Exactly. And people can't get tired of it. They can't get tired of these movies that either don't move the overarching plot along... Or they just feel like they're rehashing, what they've already done. Oh, Iron Man has another technological villain he has to face, or Thor has to face, another alien race or whatever. You know, is it just more of the same? And I'll jump out right in front. My favorite movie of this entire phase is The Winter Soldier.
Of course it is.
The best film of the entire series.
Of course it is. Winter Soldier is the best movie out of all of these. Number one.
And I love Joss, and I love what he does with Age of Ultron. It feels like him really kind of starting to chafe under Marvel's thumb in terms of what a superhero movie, and he wants to put more of the themes that he cares about into this movie.
Yeah.
There seemed to be some headbutting with Age of Ultron.
But the Age of Ultron movie is. Really, of it has that. This is stitched together set pieces. That I need to check off and to move the story forward.
Yeah,
Winter Soldier has depth. It has storyline. It has
arc.
Character arc. It has everything that we love about comics and superheroes and. These are flawed. It has humor. It's the iconic sort of it's absolutely my favorite of all the phases.
Think of the two set pieces that I always remember, and the ending set piece, the Act 3 set piece being what it is great. But think of the two major set pieces that take place in this movie and how really iconic they are. The elevator fight.
In
this movie. Which is tremendous.
Yeah,
just watch that on its own, and it's so.
Have you seen Chris Evans behind the scenes training for that scene?
He was tweeting videos of that.
Dude,
last week.
It was amazing. So cool. Just so cool.
So that piece and how they all put it together, and then the set piece of the gun battle on the freeway leading to. The fight between the Winter Soldier and Captain America.
Oh my god, that fight is amazing.
It's as good as Marvel comic book action gets.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the first movie directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, which are directing Civil War. And now they're directing Infinity War because they did such a good job on Winter Soldier.
Joss was kind of the, if you want to say, creative director of kind of Phase 2. They passed the baton to, Marvel decided, not to bring Joss back or Joss left.
Yeah, it's unclear. I mean, they just didn't see eye to eye.
It was a mutual parting. They decided they weren't going to work with each other. The Russo brothers have really, I think, kind of become the narrative kind of directors for Phase 3. But yeah, so Winter Soldier, I mean, we get two tremendous movies in Phase 2. We get Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy.
The sleeper hit of this, like,
if there was going to be a pile of dog shit,
it could have
It could have been Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the biggest surprise of the whole thing.
Because it's all these like unknown characters, and like everybody's like, Guardians of the Galaxy, what are you doing? Exactly. And it ended up being
that's
freaking hilarious.
Subgenre of genre.
Yeah,
I mean, this is for comic book nerds.
These are D-list comic book characters.
That
they're like bringing out. It's not, you know, like Iron Man was B-list, you know. It's sort of like, it's interesting what they've done with these characters. They've really understand them. They really kind of like shaping them and made a great fun space romp movie.
Well, they humanize it. And that's the key, is that Marvel understands. That's the thread that ties all this stuff together and makes them a success, is that these characters are flawed. They demonstrate human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we can recognize up on screen, and Guardians of the Galaxy is the epitome of that, where you can see and follow through on all those emotions that they're feeling. Everybody's felt. So yeah,
totally, exactly. Totally.
Well, and more example of, and you know, Chris Pratt is a movie star. He has two franchises that he's working through right now. But think about the supporting kind of perfection of the casting in that movie. I mean, kind of blanking out his name now, who plays Drax, the old, you know, the guy.
Oh, Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista.
In that movie, he is the gem.
Right, he might end up being like a big like goofball, like The Rock is, but like he's like the early days of The Rock. Like he's just like this interesting character actor guy, and he's just like yoked, and he's like,
I think he's perfect as Drax.
Perfect as Drax.
Fun. He's such a fun, way to do that. I like him the most, I think, in that movie, in terms of what Dave Bautista does as Drax. He's so much fun. Yeah,
it says a lot about the strength of all these movies, that those are definitely the top two in Phase 2 in my mind, and that Age of Ultron is only the third best.
Right.
Yeah.
And that Age of Ultron is the huge like payoff.
Yeah.
For Phase 2. It's a huge temple of all of these movies.
Totally.
And it's the third best movie of Phase 2 in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know.
We haven't even, I mean, Chris, you've obviously talked about it. You actively dislike Iron Man 3.
I actively dislike Iron Man 3 too. It's the worst on Phase 2 for me by far. Like,
so if there's a misstep in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is it Iron Man 3?
I mean people liked it. I know people that thought it was fine.
Here's I'll talk about that. I think I've mentioned this to you. The source of my hatred, hatred is strong. The source of my active dislike of Iron Man 3 is the travesty of the Mandarin. Like, I read the comics, and the villain Mandarin, now it's racist as hell, and I understand that sort of it's difficult for them to bring that. I think there's a culturally sensitive way to do it, mm-hmm. to bring it to movies. Yeah. I understand that there are lots of racist undertones in that character, mm-hmm. and that villain, mm-hmm. in the comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I read Iron Man, and the Mandarin is a badass villain in the comics. I mean, badass. Number one nemesis of Iron Man, right? And they reduce the Mandarin to a fucking actor. That
alone
pissed me off so much. And that poisoned that movie for me by taking that turn. I can't get over the fact that they reduced the Mandarin, one of my favorite villains from the comics, to this like parody, caricature, terrible actor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't
agree with you more. Also, like, Iron Man Extremis is one of the greatest Iron Man stories.
Just about to say
It is so
brought me back to Iron Man,
and it is so different. The movie is so different, and it's not good. It's not
that storyline that Matt Fraction did in like the late 2000s, where he wrote that
right
book with Tony Stark and Extremis and everything, and that is what brought me back to Iron Man in the comics. I mean,
yeah,
that is such a great arc.
I feel the movie is just a misfire. I feel like they just they had an idea for what they wanted it to be, and they changed it too much from what the comics were. Us as comic fans, maybe that's what it is like the comic fans hate it, and then the movie audience guys just are fine with it because they don't know any better. Because there's both of those things could have been so much better, and they just failed. They failed miserably on those two things bad.
The whole sequence in the wherever, North Carolina, Tennessee, where does he land?
Which is the little boy.
It's just dumb.
It's just,
dumb.
Why is he there? What's going on?
Seriously. I mean, it's like, send a jet. It's so stupid.
Yeah. No, it's silly. It's silly. All right. And then Pepper gets Extremis, but Tony doesn't. Like, that's silly.
Yeah, I mean, that is more of a broad-based appeal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love interest is threatened. She gets some power. Yeah. She,
right.
Oh my God, she's going to explode and kill herself and everyone around her. And you know, there's some of that, and that's why the movie has appeal. I think is that there is that element to it. But I just didn't like the way they executed that and how they changed. Yeah. Extremis really highlighted the evolution of the tech. It would fit. Mm-hmm. It would fit into the Marvel Universe, movie universe, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, perfectly in my mind. That Stark figures out this tech, tinkers with it. It that could easily then flow from. Okay, there's a better way to execute this technology that I'm tinkering with. That it turned bad with Ultron, but mm-hmm, hey, let's figure out Extremis. And I'm going to inject myself. I'm not going to threaten anyone else with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to inject myself because I think that these nanites can help me communicate and blah, blah, blah. That route in the comic book storyline is why it was so solid. It evolved the technology to modern sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's a path that seemed to me they really should have taken.
Yeah.
Totally. No, I can't disagree. I don't know. We could rip on Iron Man 3 all day. But anyways, so I feel like we covered our favorites and least favorite. Let's move on to phase 3. Phase 1 and 2. Number 3 now, which we're in currently, and Infinity War is the end of phase 3.
You know, we didn't talk about it at all though.
What's that?
We should at least mention it because it's kind of Phase 2 also kind of, I think, has a bit of we're taking kind of bold leaps to expand the universe. They did it with Guardians of the Galaxy, and they did it with Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Who Ant-Man's the hell ever thought Ant-Man movie would work?
Dude, Ant-Man is so fun. Oh, my God. It's so fun. It's a heist
Marvel
movie.
Made a heist movie.
And yeah.
All they set out to do, and there was all like the pre, there mm-hmm. was all like the, because they initially hired Edgar Wright to direct it. And I think that his sensibilities, if we want to say that there is one thing that's a reality of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that Kevin Feige, the, you know, kind of president of Marvel Films, he kind of rules the roost with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't feel like the directors he's chosen or the people that he's working with really kind of get what he wants, like he wants them to make a good movie, but it has to fit into the square.
Yeah, and there was some kerfuffle over that movie. Like Edgar Wright was directing it originally, and
they fired him.
They fired him, right? Yeah, either one. Yeah, something happened.
Made a bad movie? No. Has he made freaking fantastic movies? Yes, he has. So, but they're always his original. Well, Scott Pilgrim really wasn't his original,
right?
But he made a comic book movie, and he made a freaking great comic book movie. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Hello. Anyway.
Right.
Ant-Man shouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that one too. The two gems of Phase 2 are definitely Guardians and Ant-Man, because it's like they're ones that nobody expected them to work, and they worked really well. So, Phase 3 now. 2016, we got Captain America: Civil War, which is basically Avengers 3, but basically. Yeah. Anyways, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and Avengers Infinity War in 2 days. This phase three is insane. Like, each one of these made $1 billion. Maybe, maybe not Doctor Strange, but, like, I mean, Black Panther is the most successful comic book movie ever, right? I mean, yeah,
it's like up there. It's like number three, and the only two movies that are in front of it are Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All-time box office. It's ridiculous.
So, I mean, this is a crazy list. Like, I don't even dislike any of these. Like,
I don't dislike any of them. I will say, though, that I haven't felt the need to rewatch multiple movies. Well, I mean, I've seen Civil War countless times because it's so good, and there's so much going on, and, you know, Chris Evans is so good as Captain America. I think this is kind of his best iteration of who Cap is,
right?
And kind of how big the stakes are in this movie.
This
and the Russo brothers
right.
getting it right again.
Totally,
they have 12 main characters in this movie. Basically, it's a Captain America movie, but like you said, it's Avengers 3, and they introduce T'Challa
as
Black Panther. He has a central role in this movie. He has his own arc.
He has his own. They all have, like, that's what's great about that Civil War is, it's really becomes this conflict between Iron Man, Captain America, and then Black Panther has his own, like, introduction and arc, and like, he's going through some stuff, and he, like, wants revenge, and he has the power for revenge, he's kind of, like, the poignant thing, because, like, Iron Man just wants revenge for his parents, and it's, like,
Black Panther actually learns something.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's so good.
Dude, it's
really good. And Captain America has to, like, make this choice of, like, I'm going to stand up for what's right, not what the government is telling me to do, kind of a thing.
And then it turns into him really just protecting his brother, his protecting Bucky.
Yeah.
And how he feels this intense loyalty to Bucky, and that how that, you know, kind of changes everything for him, is he cannot let Stark have Bucky. He can't let it happen.
That movie changes the universe the most out of all of these, because it's like the split between the Avengers, the Avengers getting, like, arrested, and at the end of the movie they're, like, broken out by Captain America. You know, like, the ones that were in jail were, like, the Scarlet Witch and Ant-Man and Hawkeye. And Black Widow being, like, on the run, you know, stuff like that. It's really that has impacted the universe the most out of these.
Oh yeah, Phase Three built on Civil War.
Right.
If there's one thing one critique I will say about Phase Three is I haven't felt the need to rewatch Doctor Strange or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You know,
like, I watched them, they was entertained.
Right.
But I didn't really feel that, you know what, I want to watch Doctor Strange again. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. Cumberbatch does an okay job. And Guardians of the Galaxy is fine. But, I mean, I've rewatched Homecoming multiple times. Thor Ragnarok I haven't, just because it's, you know, I didn't buy it on DVD yet. But I saw it twice in the theater.
Thor Ragnarok is the funniest movie on this list by far.
Oh God,
like,
it's so fun.
It's so fun. And you get the Hulk fighting Thor, which is awesome. That fight in the arena is epic.
Yeah, everybody wants to see that. Yep.
It's epic as hell.
And it plays on the humor that calls back to the original Avengers movie.
Yes.
I just love that shit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally. And you start to get to, like, the Hulk has more of a character. He starts talking, you know, and like, he's going through transition too, you know, with being the Hulk for 2 years. Interesting stuff with that. Spider-Man Homecoming, though, is, like, the standout, I feel like, of this, because, I mean, Spider-Man was owned by Sony, and they made a deal to bring him into this universe. I'm so happy he's into this universe, because Spider-Man Homecoming is so good. I rewatched it last night with Chris Ryan. He'd never seen it. And it's so fun. And it's
finally, it's finally a teenage Peter Parker.
It's a teenage Peter Parker. They get it.
I like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies, but he plays Peter Parker as a 25-year-old. Essentially.
Yeah. Tom Holland is just like this teenager. He's like this cute, fun teenager.
Perfect example of Marvel casting the role.
Casting perfectly. Just perfect. Yes. Okay, so what's your favorites out of this list? This is a tough list, man. I don't know. Gosh.
Chris?
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, what do you got?
I'm gonna say this right now, and I'm gonna stand by it. I think we have to put Black Panther in its own category.
Ugh.
It might be its own thing.
No, dude. You got to make a choice, bro.
I don't think it's in its own category. It's part of the list.
It's part of the list. You got to make a choice.
That's my number.
That's your number. Well, you've always been the Black Panther guy. Like we've talked about this forever on the show that Black Panther's always right.
Everything I wanted out of that movie, it delivered.
Totally.
It delivered. It's a fucking great movie.
It is such a fucking great movie. Yeah. It is so phenomenally done.
Out of the movies on this list, I feel like the one that I want to rewatch the most is... I'm going to go with Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, I had so much fun in that movie, and it was so, so perfect.
That's my number two, definitely. I've watched Homecoming, like, 3 times.
Oh, yeah. I bought it on Blu-ray so that I could watch it with Chris Ryan, and I'm so happy that I have it. Like,
so good, it's so good.
It's so fun and good and
trust me, when Black Panther comes out on a digital download and Blu-ray, I'm watching that shit over and over again.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, totally.
No, I think for me, I'd have to go with Civil War, and then Black Panther is like a very close second. Like, they're almost can interchange each other just because of how good Captain America is in that movie, how good Bucky is, all the interplay with Falcon.
That's my number two on this list. I love Civil War.
From Civil War, continuing into Black Panther,
totally
and
agree.
Then everything that Ryan Coogler did. And what Chadwick Boseman did, and what that movie, beyond being the fact that it was just a great, phenomenal movie, what it meant in terms of superhero movies, and what it represents, you can't devalue that at all.
I think those two are 1A and B for me.
Yeah, because they're so intrinsically linked, at least in T'Challa's story, that it's hard to separate just. It's almost like Black Panther is almost a sequel.
Prequel.
To Civil War.
The Civil War is a prequel to Black Panther.
Almost, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. In terms of T'Challa's arc, it's so well realized in Civil War.
I think why Black Panther gets an edge for me is that it contains really great commentary on on cultural stuff. It has not stereotypical sort of African and Black American themes and commentary. It doesn't shy away from sort of that messaging and imaging more so than any other Marvel movie. And so I think it has the edge for me simply because it had a lot more to say and it's more important. It does it in a nuanced way where. Yeah. Civil War is just a badass, two kick-ass superheroes in a disagreement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have friends.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And it's great. It's great. But Black Panther gets the edge for me because it really has something to say. And
I can't disagree with that. I mean, Black Panther is so good. But I just love Civil War so much. Because of how it impacts the universe... You know, all these characters fighting each other and splitting up the groups, and that story
having
in the comics is really good.
It's not just a contrived, dumb disagreement that splits people apart. It's legit philosophical differences.
Yeah.
And it's if phase three really does anything, if we want to pick themes for each phase, I think, and you can, you know, with Doctor Strange being kind of forgettable and Guardians of the Galaxy kind of being on its own thing, phase three really actually starts to take more risks with Marvel movies. Like, they've established their brand. They have, they've made great movies. They've have a solid fan base. That's the people who are in the movies are the biggest movie stars in the world. Now they can start to create movies that take a little more risk in the universe.
Well, and like it, Civil War is kind of like the jumping off point for Iron Man's arc with him feeling guilt over like what he's done. Like, you know, being
starting to understand the consequences.
He's starting to understand the consequences of like what he's part of now, and like he feels this weight of responsibility to protect Earth, and
well,
and
also
like
informs all of his choices with Peter Parker.
Yes. All that, that man, you see so much of that because from Civil War, like he's trying to like mold Peter Parker into the next generation. He's trying to like help this kid be better than him. And, like, not make the same mistakes. But, like, Peter Parker is a different person. Like, he's a different character. And, he and like, that's part of their struggle is it's so good. And it makes so much sense that I'm so happy that Robert Downey Jr. is a part of that movie. Because you start to see that, those two characters interacting. And what Iron Man has gone through and what he's done. And he sees this young, fresh hero that's like, say, you know, stopping people from stealing bikes and, you know, bank robbers, and he just wants to help him and protect him. But, you know, it's this interesting like just juxtaposition between the two arcs, and I love that about that movie. So I feel so we got our favorites, we got our least favorites, right? What are our least favorites of this phase?
For me, probably Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I think Doctor Strange is the weakest.
I don't feel the need to watch it again.
This is the weakest of this list, I think, is Doctor Strange by far. I mean, it's a great, it's fun.
I would argue that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is the weakest.
Yeah, it's not great. It's okay. It's second least.
It is much more the ensemble by the numbers.
Right.
Let's solve this new problem.
Have you rewatched it?
I've rewatched it.
It's on Netflix, and you know, it's kind of just fun. It's just a kind of a fun movie.
I haven't felt the need to rewatch that or Doctor Strange, and they're both on Netflix. I mean, Spider-Man: Homecoming was on Stars a lot, and I always found myself watching big parts of it, big chunks of it when it was on cable.
It's so funny. Oh my god.
Doctor Strange and Guardians are both kind of the disposable two of phase three, in my opinion.
I mean, they need to be there and they're important, but they're very not as important as the other movies.
And I don't think they need to be, but I mean, in terms of, you know, wanting to rewatch them again, I just don't feel the need.
Right.
Like I actively want to watch Thor Ragnarok again.
Dude, Thor Ragnarok is so funny. Oh my god.
I just don't feel the need, and it's not like any of those movies really kind of move the overarching plot forward in a huge way. I mean, Ragnarok and Panther do that, but I don't know. I'm just not that interested in what the Guardians go through, I guess. I don't know. Like their story isn't as interesting to me.
Right.
As other movies. Even, I mean, and Spider-Man Homecoming doesn't even really move the cinematic universe forward in a big way.
Right.
But I would absolutely watch that movie again before I would watch
Strange. It builds the relationship between Iron Man and Spider-Man by far, you know, and that's interesting. I think that relationship is going to be important in Infinity War, which is great. You know, Iron Man doesn't have Captain America anymore to like stand on, so like he's got like Spider-Man's got his back, you know. It's kind of a thing, so I love that. Christopher, did you say your least favorite?
I did. I think it's, I think, and again, I don't dislike any of these movies.
Right. That's the thing. I mean,
but for phase three, my least favorite is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
I really like Doctor Strange.
So out of this movie Infinity War, what we're about to watch tomorrow,
Christopher's watching it on Sunday.
Right.
Chris is going to have to stay off the internet for two days.
Stay off the internet for 3 days.
Thankfully, I'm going to be very busy this weekend. Good. So
yeah, dude. We're getting some stuff done on Saturday,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, we are, yes.
So there's 6 Infinity Gems, and we've seen 5 of them in the films. Doctor Strange has the Time Gem, okay?
Time Stone.
The Tesseract, we assume Loki has a Tesseract, because he took it from Asgard at the end of Thor Ragnarok.
He's on the Asgardian refugee ship.
Yes. We assume he grabbed it on his way out, because that's where we saw it last.
And he lingers looking at
it. He lingers, right.
That's the implication.
It's a telling linger look, right. The Nova Corps from Guardians 1 has the Power Gem. The purple one.
Yeah,
I just watched
the end of Thor: The Dark World. The Collector,
yes,
has the Ether.
The Collector has the Ether.
The reality
correct.
Stone.
The real red. The red. The red stone.
Yeah. Reality stone.
And then we don't know. The Mind Stone was the staff from Avengers, and now is the gem inside Vision's brain. But we've seen one clip of him, somebody like trying to take the gem out of his brain, so we don't know if Vision dies or gets the gem removed, whether that kills him. It probably does. And so we're kind of, that's just what we've seen from the trailer. But we still haven't seen the Soul Gem at all, or the Soul Stolen at all. And,
That's the only one we haven't seen.
That's the only one that's missing.
So, the theory that we've already talked about on previous episodes is the soul stone is inside of the vibranium meteor that hit Wakanda, and that's why
we discussed that in episode 54 also.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You're probably right about that.
Yeah. Episode 54, way back when.
Yeah. We
saw ahead. We knew back then that it was going to be there.
We know our shit. 54 captured our genius.
If the Soul Stone isn't in Wakanda, then the fight in Wakanda has got to be over something else. Protecting Vision, maybe. Vision, protecting the
like, he needs the vibranium or something,
right,
like that.
Maybe, right.
He's trying to extract the mountain.
From the trailer...
I think it's a lock that the Soul Stone
right.
is at the center of Wakanda. I think there's no question.
There's very little. You in the trailers we only see the Infinity Gauntlet with 3 gems in it. We see the Tesseract gem. We see the Power gem, and we see one other. Which is the other that he has the
Reality gem. The Ether.
The Ether. Okay, so he has a red one. He has blue, red, and purple.
Yeah.
In the trailer, and the other three.
So the blue. He gets the Tesseract.
Yeah.
He gets the Ether, and then what? Which other one does he get? The one from Nova Corps?
The Nova Corps one.
Yeah.
The purple. Guy. So he
All
has
of
purple.
Those makes total sense.
Yes.
That he would be able to get.
He
them.
Would. So here's a question that I keep asking myself: why are there so many gems on Earth? Is that like going to be addressed? That Earth is kind of this central location or impacted by the gems in some way? Because I mean, there's
a good question. I mean, there's as many gems that have been on Earth as not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Ether was in another dimension, but its portal was in London.
Right.
The Tesseract fell to Earth, or the Asgardians brought it to Earth to hide it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
if I'm remembering the lore.
It's a simple explanation.
Go for it.
The writers are on Earth.
Okay. It's true. It's true. You're making a good point. The human beings are on Earth.
I have another theory that I want to just postulate that I'm just going to throw out there that just came to me.
All right.
Because Mr. Peter Dinklage, the half man,
awesome
Tyrion Lannister, who is amazing in anything he does, and is
he's all man. What are you talking about?
All man. Well, I'm just saying they call him the half man. He's the half man in Game of Thrones. He's all man, 100%. I am wondering, and this just came to me, he's playing some kind of mysterious role.
Oh, he's in this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
This is, what if this, go with me on this, he is the Watcher.
Oh. Well, they've introduced some Watchers.
We've already seen the Watchers.
Yeah, we've seen the Watchers in a few.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
What if he plays an intricate role as a Watcher in this movie, and he like carries through, he's like the link to the next phase.
What possible.
If that's his role?
It's possible.
As a Watcher becoming actively involved in the Infinity Struggle.
Well, that happens. That happens in the comics. Is one of the Watchers starts, like, they're not supposed to do anything. They're not supposed to stop anything.
To interact. They're supposed to watch.
They're just right.
That's the term.
That's their role, is just to watch. But like one in the comics, one of the Watchers, the one that lives on the moon, he comes down to like warn people about bad shit happening. Like,
and that would be like such a deep pull. I mean, I know the Watchers appeared in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but they really are just a thing for Stan Lee to have a funny cameo. They don't have a role in the plot,
dude. That's so
whether or not
Watcher,
played by Peter Dinklage, gets involved because Thanos is threatening all of reality now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Who do you think is gonna die in this movie? Who do you think is possible to die?
I think Vision's toast.
I think Vision's toast. But yeah.
In terms of the kind of the central, so let's think about the central nine Avengers or eight Avengers that survived Age of Ultron. So Captain America, Black Widow, Thor, Iron Man.
Chris Evans has said his last movie will be Avengers 4, which is whether he could be in a flashback. We see him fighting Thanos
certain as well that Avengers 4 will be some kind of time jump movie.
Oh yeah.
They will have to reset that there will be such a catastrophic either happening or something will happen towards the end of Infinity War where someone will decide and get a hold of the time stone and say that we have to reset the timeline because everybody's going to die.
Yeah, there's going to be
I feel like that's the cliffhanger. I feel like that's big enough cliffhanger. And if they pull it off
well, and does Thanos get defeated in this movie? Because we only see him get three. Like, what if they just beat him back? Right.
I don't want to even theorize anymore. I want to watch the movie tomorrow.
Right.
I want to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't want to watch any more trailers. I don't want to watch any more clips. I don't want to read any reviews. I don't want to, like, think about it at all. I just want to let it, like, hit me in the face.
The hard part of this is Chris and I are spending a lot of time together between now and Sunday morning. I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut the whole freaking time.
Right. Yes. What if you hate it? What if you go in and it's terrible? Yeah.
God.
It can't be terrible, right?
It's
not possible.
It's not possible. I trust the Russo brothers.
I trust them to do a good job too. I mean, they're already talking about phase four stuff. You know, Captain Marvel with Brie Larson.
Freaking wait!
They're talking about
Brie Larson. I am excited to see what happens in Captain Marvel.
I am too. They're talking about another Black Panther movie. They're talking about they have Ant-Man and Wasp already in the works. Else?
That's coming out in July, dude. That's the next movie. Infinity War is this weekend, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp is the first movie of Phase 4.
Wow. Do you think? Do you think that has like impacts? Like he's
Who knows? Who knows? I can't speculate.
Yeah.
Because I think
we don't really see a lot of Ant-Man in any of the Infinity War trailers. Maybe he's just he's not in it much. They've already been saying that Spider-Man's going to be part of Avengers Infinity War and then of Avengers 4, which is untitled. But then I read an article saying that they did an interview where when he comes back from all that, he's going to be back to normal Spider-Man life. You know, high school kid who's who's been to other planets and fought gods, and now he's back in high school, which is kind of fun and crazy. But what else are your thoughts on Infinity War pre thoughts?
I just hope that it has weight. Right. I just hope that it pays off. Mm-hmm. I can't go back to sort of, and I don't want to go back to bubblegum post Black Panther. I think that changed. They need to really step up, and
it needs to be a little more mature.
Yeah,
they're 18 movies in. I mean, they've done 10 years of these movies. We know these characters. We know what they're about. Put them in different situations that really push them to the limits of who they are and what they can do.
Yeah.
And have some of their stuff have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. They can make they can
be like right. We're killing off characters because it can't feel like, oh, the universe is too bloated, so we're gonna eliminate some characters. There should be consequences to what happened. And if it's an amazing, tragic, heroic death for Captain America, I'll deal with that. And I love Chris Evans as Captain
America. I think I'd be okay with him dying. Like I see it coming. You know, his character has gone through so much, and it makes sense. Like, I don't want him to die because I love Captain America. He's my favorite comic book character out of all these guys. But
it has to make sense.
It makes sense for the universe that he dies. It might make sense that Iron Man dies. We'll see. Maybe he lives. I don't know. But like, how can he live a normal life?
He can't.
He can't. He can't after this. So he's that's very possible. Did I ruin your trivia, Andrew? I was gonna.
No, that was a joke. I actually had no trivia planned. I figured with what we're gonna talk about so much. But yeah, no, that was, if we wanted a trivia question, that was gonna
so
be trivia question is what was the total box office was.
So $15 billion, close to $15 billion. So we're gonna go see this, and then the next time we record,
let's hammer down our plans so
yeah.
they know, our audience knows I'm going tomorrow at 7:30.
Yeah.
Patrick, you're going tomorrow, Thursday, the 27th.
I'm
at
going
7:45.
7:45 at the Lloyd Center, the standard show, if you want to come along.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Christopher, you have bought tickets for when?
Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Cine Capri with the family.
Excellent.
All, yeah. All the girls.
I have the whole crew.
The whole shebang.
That's awesome.
Fun. Yeah, I'm really excited about this movie. I hope that it can live up to my expectations. I'm sure it will.
We will do a post
exactly
Infinity War. We'll
the next episode will be right the Infinity week. War one shot. So, yes, thank you for listening. You should. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek at twitter.com, and email the show, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com, brothersgeek.com, brothersgeekpodcast on Facebook, all that jazz.
Wakanda forever, boys.
Wakanda forever.
Forever.